Okay, so good morning to everybody, and I'm going to simply, you know, choose to discuss two important aspects. First of all, regarding the material that needs to be covered for the exams, and second, about the structure of the exam papers, and I'm going to go through two examples of exam papers to highlight the major components of an exam paper and what you should do given the 3 hours for the exam duration. So first of all, you know, out of all the subjects that are covered, I have picked deliberately section 3 on modeling and simulation and section 10 on applications, because I'm going to highlight the major areas and aspects where you should focus on for the examination. Because especially those two set of lecture notes include material that maybe you, you know, I'm not saying you to skip, but maybe you should put less emphasis on and so on. This is because of the availability of time. Also, I believe that the module includes a lot of material, and I prefer that you, you know, cover it well rather than, you know, spread a little bit too thin and then not to be able to cover it properly there. So in terms of section 3 on modeling and simulations, the focus on this is, you know, for the theoretical assessment in your exam on modeling. And this is because simulation, the most simulation part will be has been covered by your assignment. So the CR mark, you know, will cover all the requirements for this, including the innovation, design, and testing, and so on. So just to clearly state at the beginning, there will be no network simulator question during the exam whatsoever. So this will help you, especially, you know, to not to focus that much on the syntax of NS3 code or and so or aspects like that. So that's why from this part, you know, section A on modeling and simulation will be covered and not section B in by your exam paper. Yeah, so just to be clear there. In terms of section A, obviously, you know, what is modeling and the need for modeling are important, you know, so I would not want to let it aside. And very important, modeling limitations. So key aspects are, you know, model types. So you're going to see in the exam paper, we have the likes of 5-point questions where you could be simply asked, for instance, to compare and contrast deterministic or stochastic models, for instance. So for 5 points, you know, you need very brief, you know, answers. So it's not in any details, just directly to the point, and we'll discuss about this a little bit later. As you're going to see in some examples, in the past, you know, I have chosen to ask the students to highlight the major stages in modeling, and we have 2 takes, one for smaller projects, the other for large projects. In small projects, you know, you have the 4 stages, with simplification, abstractization being one, representation measurement the second, manipulation third, and verification the last. So this is 1 take for small on. Yeah. So you could, for instance, been asked for the exam paper to present, you know, what are the major staging modeling for small projects, and then you should be able to describe this in more details. It's not enough for you just to indicate the top level description, such as, you know, oh, simplification, abstractization, representation, measurement, manipulation, verification, that's it. You have to say something about each of them in order to qualify your answer. Yeah, so that's very important. In the second stage is for large projects, and here, you know, you need, apart from the goals and objectives, to build a conceptual model, a specification model, a computational model, and then validation and verification. So you have, you know, 5 stages. And in these 5 stages, you know, you have to be able to describe, you know, if you are asked to provide these, what are the differences between the 3 models mostly? What is the difference between validation and verification? Just briefly, you don't need to write novels. Keep in mind, because this is not, you know, a literature or an English exam and so on. It's a technical exam, but, you know, you need to provide content. It's not enough to just say, oh, you know, of course I meant that, but I didn't write. You know, it's all black and white. Keep in mind, the exam is being also assessed by an external examiner. So whatever marks that I produce and I'm going to allocate to the exam paper will be validated by a professor from a different university. His name will be on the paper, and he comes and he picks, you know, a representative subset of the exams, and everything else will be there for his scrutiny. So also the students who are in between marks, or the students who you know, who are in between precision levels, like for instance from H2 to H21, from H21 to H1 or something like this, and there are some missing marks and so on, they can be both, you know, double checked by the external examiner in their submissions, or an interview will take place with the student, you know, in the final board meeting and so on. So you will be informed in case that, you know, this applies to you by the program chair. So in terms of the network simulators, you know, this is just you to be able to compare and contrast them, but with no need for you to know exactly what models they cover and so on, because this is very difficult. I wouldn't be able to remember all of them by from the top of my head now. So it's not fair to request, but just for you to know the important kind of aspects of these protocols. And then, as I said, Section B will not be covered by your exam in any way. So this is, you know, concluding Section 3 comments they had. And I'm going to talk to you briefly about Section 10 on network applications. So network applications, very important, includes three stages. They are processes, communication and protocols, and Java application deployment. Definitely, for the Java application deployment, this is out of the consideration, because you have already had to be aware of about C++ and sometimes other programming languages such as Python to process the data for your communication, for your CA. So therefore, you know, I don't want to add Java to your list and so on. However, for description of some algorithms, we use Java in this section. So therefore, as you are going to see later on, I try to simplify this and allow principles only to be considered rather than the details. So we'll go step by step. For the processes, you know, I think everything is valid, so I do not want to remove anything, especially, you know, the multi-programming, multitasking, and description of processes. I think this is fundamental, and if you haven't been encountering this in some other subjects or in your undergraduate studies, I think this is fundamental for you to remember. Because everything, you know, is based on scheduling. Yeah. So scheduling algorithms and so on, how do they work? They work on this kind of allocation to a processor or more, because you can have more than one processor there. So this is important. Something particular for some programming languages are threads. You can see them as lighter processes, if you want, and these lighter processes share with other lighter processes the same kind of space there. Now, I do not want to put emphasis on threads in the, because they are more specifically implemented in Java and so on, so that's why I don't want to, but you know, I just wanted you to be aware of this, so you won't have a question specifically on multi-threading and so on. So this is just for you to know, because the exemplification is done in Java, and I don't want you to have to go through Java. So the multi-threading Java examples will not be covered by your exam. Yeah, it's just to be clear. So none of them there, and neither the phases of a thread-based Java program and so on, because obviously this is linked with them. Inter-thread communication, again, is not important for your exam. I'm not saying not important. It's not being, going to be included in your exam, but sharing of information is, because this can be done also inter-process communication. So not only inter-thread, but also inter-process communication. Again, even though I love this, you know, the Java examples with producer-consumer problems and will not be part of our examination. I love this, you know, I especially love the dining philosophers problem. I encourage you, maybe when you finish with your exams and you feel more confident and relaxed and so on, to try to attempt to find a solution for the dining philosophers there. So dining philosophers is a great problem, is there for 1,000 years. They found different solutions to it, but still, you know, the simplest one brings us to a deadlock. So for those of you who didn't hear about it, you know, you have 5 plates, 5 spoons, and, you know, philosophers who can only eat or think. When they think, they have to put down, you know, the spoon, that any spoon that they have. And when they eat, they require 2 spoons or forks in this particular example to eat. If they have only one, they'll starve. So they can neither think nor eat. Yeah, so they are in big trouble there. So design, the problem was to design a solution that enables them to not to starve. So this means that everybody will get 2 forks, eat for a while, put down the 2 forks, and enable somebody else then to take the two forks. So now, the simplest example, the simple potential solution is that everybody takes one of the fork and then waits for their neighbor to release the other fork. But this ends up in a deadlock very fast, because everybody can hold, for instance, their right-hand fork and wait for their left-hand fork. There are 5 philosophers, 5 forks, they'll forever hold to their right-hand fork, and nobody will release it, you know, and everybody will starve to death. So you try to find the solution. And this can be solved using processes, not only with threads. So think about that, and so on. I leave it with you. So as I said, fundamental is the inter-process communication, and I want you to consider this so for your exam. So this, if threads are not part of your examination, inter-process communication, it is. Yeah. The second part is network communications. From here, the principles I want you to focus on. Obviously, we start from the OSI network reference model. I promised you at the beginning when I introduced, I promise you now that you'll have at least one question that involves that. So, you know, please, you know, have a look. You know, it may be just that you describe, you know, one area of the 5 or 7 layers if you took OSI, but at least you'll have one question, because I think it's fundamental. If you don't know this, you're in big trouble, and so on. So this is the TCP/IP model and the way you send the data using headers and across the network. So everything like this is covered as part of your examination. In terms of socket programming, you know, I would like you just to consider the principles here. So I will not ask you to give examples and so on, but I like to ask you the stages. So you see here the stages in the lecture notes. You have something like creating and opening sockets, establishing contact, exchanging data, closing and destroying sockets. These are the stages and so on. So I don't need a code, because this involves you knowing Java. And so now, of course, you can do it in C, but we haven't covered this. So just to be clear, you can have types of sockets. Again, you can describe them, but no code is related. So fundamental principles you need to know. And I hope that if you want to go further in your careers and so on, knowing the principles will help you. And then you put effort to understand also whatever language is that you are going to use in your career. Yeah. There are 2 types of sockets. You are going to see UDP and TCP types of sockets. And for each of them, you have the communication steps and so on. Now, again, principles, never the code. Yeah, so keep in mind there. So I will not ask you, for instance, to edit the code of this, even though in the past, some of the exam papers, if you go through them, will have code in them and so on. I have not considered this for this academic year. So you will not have code. Just to clarify this. Yeah, so this is clear. Yes, please.
So we're not being asked, for example, to write the steps, create
the steps. You can be asked to put the steps, but not to write the code. Yeah. So you may be asked, for instance, what are the major steps, for instance, for establishing, you know, communication using UDP sockets. You can be asked this, but not to provide the code. Yeah, you know. So this is, or you may be asked, for instance, to compare and contrast UDP socket communication with TCP socket communication. So you know that a connection has to be established before being able to exchange information, but I'm not going to ask you to write the code. So like here, for instance, you have the steps from 1 to 8 on page 38 in the application section. But you will not have to illustrate it with the code, which makes it a little bit easier. And so, because the principle is logic, so have a look. Yeah, it's all logic there, so, you know. And the same story for TCP, you know. So the same story is here, the principles and not the code. So you have loads of code there, but it's, you know, it's not going to be provided. Again, multi-threaded TCP sockets, you know, this is in terms of principle, but again, not the code. So you will not be asked to produce the code there. However, principle is important because this can work in a similar fashion with processes. It's the same story. You know, you create a kind of a dispatcher or something like this, like a overarching process, and you have a number of slave processes who do different activities and so on. So principle works, you know, very well in practice, and I want you to be aware of this because it's fundamental. But the code and so on, not. So just keep in mind the principles there. Again, unicast, broadcast, and multicast, fundamental principles. You should be able to describe this. So remember, you know, unicast, it's one-to-one communication. Highly useful in case of an example. Highly useful for, you know, specialized services that are requested by some users or applications and so on. Tailored for a particular environment, tailored for a particular context, tailored for a particular content requested by a user or something like this. Broadcast, everybody gets it. Whether they like it or not, they get it. Yeah, so. There are specific communication paradigms that, you know, use broadcast, and, you know, that's why I want you to remember. So in broadcast, you know, the sender sends once, and then it's the job of the intermediate nodes of the network to multiplicate the packets so then everybody gets it eventually. Or they use a shared medium. And once the content is put on the medium, then everybody gets it, you know, like in a DVB or in ATSC kind of protocol context. But I won't go into details here, just principle, as I said. Multicast, you have a subset of the nodes who choose to become part of the multicast group. So once they join the multicast group, then, you know, they are being added to the list of multicast destinations. And then the routers in the network will create copies of the packets in order to travel to the destination. And the copies will be made as close as possible to the destination. So they won't travel multiple packets on common routes, yeah, on common paths. So a single copy of the packet travels to the node, to the router. The router has a job to identify on what of the following routes the packets need to be sent, and then create copies and send copies of the packet on those routes that will have eventually leave, you know, a node that requested, you know, to be part of this multicast group. So this is fundamental for multicast. Again, principles and very important. Now for the multicast and unicast example in Java, they will not be part of your examination. However, in terms of protocols, you know, just to clarify from the beginning, the protocols are part of our examination, the implementation not. So you may be asked, for instance, to briefly describe the ICMP and ping, you know, protocol. Yes, you may be asked to do that. And then you should be able to summarize. Now, again, talking about protocols, because you have loads of protocols throughout the, you know, nobody will ask you, for instance, to say that, look, you know, type 3 means destination unreachable there, because it's difficult for you to remember. If you need to remember that, get a card, a book or a textbook and, you know, get it, or search for the internet and you'll find exactly the, you know. So what I need for you to remember is what kind of fields it exists and what kind of messages those fields, you know, carry. Because this is fundamental. Like, for instance, in that example here, look, there is a in ICMP protocol, in page 55 of the application set of lecture notes, you have the code of 8 bits, for instance, as one of the fields there. And, you know, this one says it further qualifies the ICMP message, but qualifies in what sense? You have to give, if this will be asked in your exam paper. Like, for instance, look, you know, could indicate that the network is unreachable, the host is unreachable, the protocol is not good, or the port. And that's it. So this is to further qualify what types can exist. And not numbers or something, because nobody is able to remember this, but at least to know what kind of details, you know, are expected to be provided. So, in terms of the email, we have a number of protocols, RFC, the 822, 2822. Again, nobody remembers all of these. Yeah. I do not remember myself all of them. If you ask me now, you know, I do not. And, you know, I'm also, you know, I've taught this last year and I've taught it this year as well, so you cannot blame me for being completely parallel with the subject there. So it's not an aspect, you know, but, you know, you pick some of them or relevance and you say, for instance, EG, and pick a couple of them just as an illustration of the type that, you know, not all of them, because it's not possible you to remember all of them. It's not needed. You find this any time that you want, you go and you find it and you get the full list if you need to get that. So this is just for you to understand. But the principle is important, especially for the three protocols here. You have SMTP, you have POP3, and you have IMAP. So you see here, I have in the slide 65 there, IMAP versus POP, similarities and differences and so on. So the fundamental one is one retrieves the content from the server, the other one leaves it on the server. Especially now when we've almost migrated to the likes of Gmail for our services and so on, we don't retrieve the emails anymore from the server. We can if we want to, but the settings by default are such that the mails, you see, they're not. Thanks God, you know, the likes of Gmail are stable enough, because imagine what would happen if it would collapse tomorrow. You know, I have no backup for several months of any of my emails. You know, so it's terrible. You kind of consider it as a given, and it's not. So these are important aspects that, you know, and for your, you know, overall view on slide 66, you know, it shows where these protocols, you know, are deployed and what are their characteristics, major characteristics. No Java examples or implementation is needed. Yeah, definitely not. Now, obviously, I encourage you to do further reading and so on for all of them, but, you know, the material that you have will provide you enough information for you to sit the exams there. Now, file transfer, again, the principle for establishing the connection, then sending data, and then tiering of the connectivity. So that's all what it matters, you know. No implementation necessary. However, it's important for you to know the major commands there. So it doesn't mean that all of them, but some of them, and so on. Like, for instance, in some of the exams in the past, you know, I asked, for instance, to, you know, to list three major commands and to explain how they are used or something like this. To me, that is okay. So it's not overdoing it and so on. Yeah. In terms of the implementation, again, no need to do that. For the web content transfer, HTTP, fundamental protocol for transmissions today. So please, you know, consider, again, basic description. Nobody will ask you exactly for all of them, but again, a subset of the most important would be relevant. So keep in mind, command, response. This is fundamental for HTTP. Command, response. The command has a certain structure, response has a certain structure, but that's it. You know, you don't need to know exactly that, look, you need that the status code provides whether a success, unsuccess, or another type of error has happened. And I consider this as, you know, a very good answer. You know, not exactly. Code 1 says that this information, code 2 is success, you know. Do I remember? No. I don't need to remember now. Of course, if you have good memory and so on, you can remember, do it, you know. But I prefer you to know principles more, because what you, these principles will be left behind in 2, 3, maybe years and so on. They'll still remember the principles. Well, if I ask you now and you remember all the codes and so on, remember them, you know, for the exam, and then in 2 months you'll forget them. So better, you know, stand back and look at the principle. Are you able to describe your colleague, for instance, next to you, the principle of how does HTML, HTTP functions, and so on? If you are able, well done. You gain the goal. You know how this works. If you need further, no problem. Get a book or a textbook or search on the internet and you go far. Because look, it's so much material. Who knows what your employer will want? You may want to do research, and then HTTP will be just a means. You'll learn a new protocol on top of HTTP. For instance, we have MPEG Dash that is built on top of HTTP and so on. Great. You'll learn more details about that protocol. But you need to know the principle of HTTP because it's still command response. If you don't know it, you're in big trouble. Yeah. So this is important. Yeah. Okay, so you have the methods. You know, again, no details from here, just for you to know that, you know. And then some enhancements. The most important one is the security one, just for you to be able to know what enhancements exist. Caching and mirroring, important aspects and why. No need for HTTP example there. And as I said, Java application development, this is for completeness for you, if you want. Later on, I had them into the exam paper. Several years ago. So if you flip through the exam paper and you find such examples, don't panic there. So it's not, they are not going to be covered in this academic year. We had a bank holiday Monday, and I didn't want to insist on this because of that, you know. So we missed one of our meetings. So no need, but this is for you, you know, how to create a first Java program and so on. So to me, these are the most complex ones where, you know, additional information had to be clarified. However, you know, you have protocols, especially, you know, if I recall well, have the DCCP protocol, you have the SCTP protocol. And again, you know, I tried, you know, to keep generic these protocols, but so, and not to exactly say which is the code, which is anything. So again, generic, you know, keep this in mind for all the protocols, generic principles and so on. And if you are asked, you know, you may keep it at that level and still get full marks. Now I'm going to go through the exam papers. So I have opened two such exam papers. So we're going to discuss them with you. So to see exactly the structure of such an exam paper. First of all, to clarify, you have 3 hours to do this. And 5 subjects. The five subjects that are given to you, they are called questions in this structure. You have to do four out of the five. So this means that, you know, you have two ways of pursuing this. You either do all five of them, and then the four highest marks will be considered, and I'm okay, don't worry, you'll give me a bit more work to correct them, but, you know, I don't mind. Just get, you know, the highest four, you know, marks will be considered. Or, you know, you have the 3 hours focused on the four subjects that you know the most on, and then do your best on those. There. So you, it's up to you. This is your strategy that you need to consider what is the best to use your time for. It's better for you to get best answers to four than to waste your time to do five and then, you know, you don't. So it's up to you, because sometimes I saw students having, for instance, 5 marks of 15 or something like 15, you know. So 15, 5 marks of this, you know. I can only consider 4 of them, so mark of 60 would be given, even though the student definitely knows more than a mark of 60. Isn't this pity? Yeah, because if they simply didn't cover anything. So it's better if you cover something on every point. Don't leave points not answered. So you have, for instance, a subject you don't know that well, and you say, oh, I'll skip this one, do something perfect. Yeah, no problem, do something perfect. But go back to that one and do something the best you can, because anything is better than a zero. If you don't attempt something, you get a zero. If you do something, maybe it's not perfect, but you get some points from this. It may make a difference between you passing the subject or not. Yeah, so this is important. Now, going back to the exam paper, as I said, you know, each of these is marked of 25, and you have 3 types of questions. 5 marks questions, look here, in this exam of 2000 examination semester 1, 2016-2017 that I chose here. Yeah. In this exam, question 1C says the following. In the context of modeling, describe what do validation and verification do and why are both necessary for successful modeling. You see, from the whole modeling section that we have just discussed there, I picked one of these entries. And for 5 points, you just have to justify why both validation and verifications are needed. So if you recall, one says that, you know, you need to build the model right, and so on, so to be correct, and so on, or what, and the other one to be the right model, because it could be perfectly implemented, but not whatever you have been asked to do, and so on. So the two versions are both valid. And that's it. You know, it may be 4 or 5 lines, your answer, to the point, and you get 5 points of it. Sometimes you are asked also to draw a diagram or to illustrate the answer. So, you know, add the picture. It's not enough you to give the description and so on, and not to have the... Yeah. So the most important for this 5 point is to answer directly to the point, because if you are not are completely parallel, you may not get any of the points there. Now, the second category, there are 7 rate marks questions. And here you are asked to give a little bit more details. Question 1A lists the following. List the major features of the Datagram Congestion Control Protocol, DCCP. So in here, nobody tells you, look, introduce or discuss about the fields, or in discuss about the established connection establishment, data transmission. No, it's up to you. Obviously, in the marking scheme for 8 marks, you know, I'll consider, did you say anything about the major stages and so on? Did you say anything about what fields are in general for the transmission? Again, not exactly 8 bytes this or 9 bytes this or no, but it's important for you. Major characteristics of DCCP, why DCCP was introduced, it's meant to replace UDP and why, and so on. So these are the, you know, important features, such as, for instance, the possibility for DCCP to introduce a congestion control mechanism if chosen by the user. So these are aspects that will be marked. Yeah. Now, obviously, you know, you won't be able to put everything in it, but if you have enough of these, you can still get the full points. You know, so I don't expect you to have everything there listed, but you have enough, you know, to show that you have studied and so on, then you'll get a full 8 points, which is great. Now, question B, in generally, we have problems, and you're going to see, we'll go through a number of them, and I promise you're going to have at least one of the routing algorithms there. In here, you know, the Dijkstra algorithm was selected. So many of your colleagues, you know, may decide to choose wherever they want from to start. Please read carefully the requirements of the problem. It says there, the router show how router A builds his own. In other exam papers, maybe router B or router C or router D. So please read carefully. Not always the leftmost router, whatever it's called, is the one that builds the, you know, just read it, because sometimes, you know, the diagram is more interesting if you choose the router to be in the middle. And even though that one would be called, you know, D or E or something, that's why I chose a different name. I didn't rename the thing. So step by step here, you get points not only for the result, but also for the journey. Because, you know, in the past I saw students, for instance, you know, they, you know, had a single diagram at the end. This is the output. You know, where do you get it from? From the colleague from the front or from the back bench or something like this? Yeah, you don't. I need to show me that it this work. Now, again, I understand you not to draw it all the time, again and again. But what you can do, you can draw enough stages for me to show, for you to show me where the new lines are being added. For instance, you may not go all the way from router A, for instance. You show router A and network 11 and 12 in the first stage. And then, you know, when you add in second stage, you just show network 11 and then router B in stage 2. So it's clearly going to be attached next and so on. And then in stage 3, you show router B and network 13 in stage 3 and so on. So you always draw, you know, one or two lines and so on and so on. And then at the end, you have the whole picture. But, you know, you don't waste time drawing, you know, the whole kind of picture yet again and again, you know, 11 times or how many stages it would have. But enough for me to show which is, to show me that you know which stage goes every time. Question B, again, look at the type of questions. There are two large questions, and look, the ones, compare and contrast, destination sequence distance vector, and dynamic source routing, wireless routing protocols. You remember that these protocols, you know, I described towards the end of the lectures, and you have, you know, different categories. So one of them is, you know, the passive one, and, you know, the other one builds the routing table. So, you know, when you compare and contrast, think about the major features, how they work briefly, and at the end, where it matters the most. You know, by building the routing table, the protocol is not most suited for dynamic environments, because, you know, this routing table will have to all the time to be changed. Well, the other one is not very good for passive, you know, situations, scenarios, or stable scenarios, because, you know, it has to check every time the router, the route, and so on. Well, the route is stable. You found it once, you have it for a longer period. So these kinds of aspects need to be discussed at the end. You see, HTTP graceful termination procedure. We don't talk about everything. We just talk about HTTP termination procedure, and you have a nice handshake at the beginning and a nice graceful termination, which allows all the packets which are in the flow between the destination sender to the destination to arrive at the destination before you tear off the connectivity. This is nice in HTTP. So you need to describe for 7 points. Illustrate it if you can. The last two questions, they state what are the limitations of modeling and explain why they are introduced, and describe the principle of prioritized adaptive multimedia streaming solution, 5 marks each. So this means maybe a small diagram and so on, and just say what, you know, for instance, the prioritized adaptive multimedia, what is the principle there? Number one, you know, you have multiple types of, you know, streams. They can serve different kinds of devices. The devices could be a large screen TV or a gaming console or a mobile device. Obviously, they have different requirements. an equal approach to all will not serve any good, because the mobile device will get higher bitrate than it requires, while the big screen TV lower than it requires. So, you know, this scheme, you know, and not this particular scheme, in general, a prioritized kind of scheme like this enables, you know, differentiation between the different transmissions, so that one of these transmissions and so on will get higher bitrate, and then it will serve better the goal of increasing quality of perception, and the other ones, which has smaller bit, smaller screen size or, you know, processing capabilities and so on, get slower kind of things. And whole key point there, keyword there, is adaptive. So this is done adaptively. So you have a range in between the adaptation can happen at higher bit rates for the higher quality devices and at lower bit rates for the other one. So, you know, in a nutshell, you know, this can gain you 5 points. Don't write novels. Don't waste time for a 5-point question, you know, and write 2 pages and so on. Yeah, I would love, if you have time, do that. But if you don't, I cannot give you more than 5 points. This is the reality, you know? Okay, question number 3 there. You have longer questions and so on. Now, some of the questions in all the exam papers, I wanted to clarify, and I chose this deliberately here. In the older exam papers, you know, they introduce, I have introduced some propagation and delay related questions. They are not part of your current examination at the moment. So these are not part of this module anymore. So that's why I picked this old exam paper to show you, because if you go into the DCU website, you'll find papers as early as 2013, if I'm not mistaken. So until 2017, you have these kind of questions and they will not be part of your examination. So this is just to clarify. So the ones that... Now, if you want to attempt them and so on, that's great and so on for your... But I prefer you to focus on the content that was covered in our lecture notes at the moment. So deliberately, you know, the ones that read something like, consider an optical fiber 3,000 kilometer long with a transmitter transmitted 3 gigabit per second and another fiber 2,000 kilometer long over which transmission happens at 2 gigabit per second. Assume packet switching is being used. What is the bit propagation delay along the two fibers? What is the packet transmission time? At what point both receivers have received the same amount of data? Does change in packet size help justify your answer? So just to clarify, these are not part of your examination. Yeah. However, you know, other questions such as, for instance, you know, the likes of principles, as I mentioned before, of UDP and TCP communication, you may be asked. Like, for instance, indicate the stages of UDP socket communication, or compare and contrast UDP and TCP socket communication in terms of principles. This may be part of it. However, you know, code, like for instance here, not. Again, deliberately I picked this one to show you which is not, you know, not only what it is, but also what is not. In this one, for instance, you have, please, you know, fix the code in between start and stop, you know, in the following code. This will not be part of your examination, yeah? So this was in the past, but not now. However, the likes of question 4B here, which is for 10 marks, you know, might come in your exam paper. Like, for instance, the packet loss rate, latencies, jitter, and throughput are often used to describe the network operational characteristics or performance. Please describe each of these parameters. Considering that the network is used for interactive video deliveries, please state which of these parameters have the high impact on the quality of service. Justify your answer. So here for 10 points, you have four parameters to describe, you know, when they occur, you know, what is their reason, and then, you know, out of the four, to indicate which ones are most relevant for a particular service. So imagine, you know, this, I can play with this kind of questions very much. I can change the service, I can change the parameter, I can get a subset. For instance, instead of 10 marks, you know, I can choose for 5 marks, to give you to describe only one of these parameters, like for instance loss, and so on, which is a nice way of answering. Now, energy conservation, question 5. Briefly explain why energy conservation can be seen as a performance indicator for data networks. In other words, why is energy conservation important? Yeah. You see, I have to ask you, you are master's level students. Some questions, you know, are not exactly to reproduce the content from the lecture notes. I have to ask you to think. And this is one of these questions. That's why deliberately I wanted to choose one of these. Or you have, for instance, to compute some result and so on in a problem. And then the final sub-point in the problem, you know, you may be, you know, what would you do to improve the throughput? Or what do you do to reduce the loss? Or something like this, yeah? So these are not, you won't have the answer immediately there. I have to ask you, because it's a master's level exam, you know, to go beyond a little bit the exact skill. Now, if you are unable to answer, you lose those 2-3 marks or something like this there. But, you know, try to answer. You know, think about, stand back and say, look, you know, I'm thinking, I'm using, you are smart people, you know, you are at master's level and so on. Why not try to answer? Yeah, so what do I do to, you know, even sometimes if you don't have the formula or something like this, in formula it's easy to identify how you can increase or decrease. You don't have the formula. Think about, for instance, what would you do to reduce loss for a transmission? Generally, stand back and so on from the problem and see, you know, if you can answer to this. And then you can ask, you can be a scribe, for instance, to describe one or another of the standards and so on. Again, no, not in details there. Generic or aspects, exactly, you know, in terms of energy consumption there. There, question 5b, there are two methods for measuring network performance, active and passive. Briefly explain the main difference between the two methods. List the main challenges imposed by passive measurements. So again, for 5 marks. Don't go into, you know, novels and so on. What are it means? Active, what is passive? You know, in one of them you send probes and see how it goes. In the other one you just sniff and listen to whatever and so on. Just briefly to the point. And then don't forget some questions, they have a composed kind of answer. Like for instance, blah, 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 and then illustrate your answer and so on. This means that the points will be divided roughly between them. Don't, you know, get too close to the content, answer perfectly the first statement, and then forget to add the second part, because we cannot give you the full points. And it's pity. I saw this in the past. So what I would do if I were you, for instance, whenever you believe that you have finished answering one of these questions and so on, go back to the question and see, did I answer all the sub-statements? Like here, this is a good example. It says, list the main challenges employed by passive measurements. Not be active, just passive. But if you don't have them listed, you are in trouble, because you cannot get the points for this. 5 points, probably 3 points for the first kind, and you get 2 points and lose 2 points. Just because, you know, you thought that you have answered to the first question and so on. It's pity. I noticed this last year, so that's why I draw your attention clearly to this. Then, briefly define vertical handover concept and describe the media handover independent framework H.202.21. So here, you know, you have loads of diagrams there. I don't need you to replicate the diagrams from the lecture notes just for the sake of replicating the diagrams. I want you to consider the concept. So what is this doing? It provides a third-party place where you can store information about your networks. Whenever, you know, you need, you fetch this information and you use it and so on. Then what kind of information? How often you could do this, you know, where you use it, and so on. So think about in these terms. And there are 3 types of MIHs there. So try to, you know, consider this. So stand back and, you know, don't replicate exactly, because it's difficult, it's a lot of material, and so on. And some of you take 4 modules this, you know, winter. So it's great if you, you know, summarize in your own words what you are going to say, you know, for each of these. The last ones here, briefly present the FTP application protocol. Explain what FTP is based on TCP transport protocol there. You see, no implementation here. No implementation, just the principle. So this, you know, can appear in your exam. Yeah. Just the principle, what is FTP for? Where is useful? Long-term transmissions. This is fundamental. Reliable, the keyword there, because retransmissions happen if something is lost, and so on. It is built on top of TCP because reliability is important. And that's the whole exam paper. So 3 hours, you know, believe me, you know, it's enough. So don't panic at the beginning, you know, say, oh, I don't know how to do it. No, take it one at a time and so on. If you don't know it, mark somehow so you can go back to that question, go to the next one. Yeah. Also, it's not good for you to keep jumping. I saw some of your colleagues, they jump, they do a question, 1 point from question 1, 1 point from question 3, 1 point from question 5, they keep jumping and something like this. And then what happened, I noted that is they forget points in between, and they forget how they are grouped as part of the question. And then they have the likes of your, the example I gave you, you know, 5 questions with each 15 points. Doesn't help. Get 25 points if you can in one of them. Get 25 in the second. Now the third one, you don't know that much. Okay, you get only 10 on that, or only 5 on them. That's it, no problem. Yeah, but you got 2 full 25 marks if you could. Now, if you cannot, you know, that's it. But at least, you know, you tried. So this is one of the. Now, how do I found these exam papers there? I went online and I searched for DCU. And in DCU, EE500, it enables me to see all the exams up to 2016, but not newer ones. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to upload some of the newer exams on our loop. Thing. If I do forget, please remind me, any of you, just drop me an email and so on, and I'll do that, you know, because this will help you. I won't put all of them, but I'll put a good number, so you have a kind of a more recent ones. So have a look at the this exam paper of, two, again, 2016, but is the, this is the solutions. So I'm looking for the exam. Why did I, unless I closed it. Ah, it crashed on me, so that's okay. But they have restored, so let's see if I can restore it. Yeah, look here. So this is the, come on. So in the past exam papers, you click on the pipe exam paper. Okay. So from here you can get access to any exam paper that you want. Now I have difficulties to find this, so I'm going to open up another one. Not the one that I picked previously. Ah, look. So you can search for the code of the. And then you can open up a number of exam papers. Yeah. So look here, for instance, question 1, describe the layer quality adaptation algorithm for multimedia and describe its principle for 8 points. Have a picture, you illustrate the different layers, you can add layers and you can remove layers following a feedback loop. So for 8 points, you know, and you see, illustrate the principle, you know, here is compulsory because you are asked. Sometimes you are not, and then you don't have to put it, but if you are asked, you have to. Again, a different picture with different weights for the Dijkstra shortest path algorithm, but it's the same kind of idea. Once you know it, you know, so exercise your hand is not enough. If you read the lecture notes, oh, I know it. No, it's perfect. Get at least one example and do it by hand to see what, because there may be issues, deliberately issues, and one of them is creating cycles. You have to prevent from creating cycles. So this is the key aspect. And when I pick such an example, there is some level of trick there. It's not everything wrong. Sometimes you have, for instance, you know, unequal alternative there. So you have to pick at random a solution. This makes differences between submissions of different colleagues of yours. Not all of them will look the same. So again, keep this in mind. The last one here, briefly describe the features added by mobile HTTP to extend HTTP for 5 marks. So you remember what is the biggest problem with HTTP there? Associations are created only once at the beginning and didn't allow the dynamic addition of new association and so on. And this is what MPTCP does. So introduce the features, it has two new types of packets for transmission with different fields. I don't need for you to exactly indicate what the fields are. I don't remember them now, but you know, you should indicate the fact that they exist and they enable, you know, using requests and then response to add a new association dynamically, which is helpful. Yeah. Describe TCP slow start phase. Comment what is the effect of modica in sender maximum segment size and congestion within size instead of performance. So you remember the slow start phase is not really slow. It exponentially, it increases, it doubles and doubles and doubles all the time the transmission at the beginning. So this is the principle. You may even illustrate how it works and so on there. And now the question is there, what is the effect of modifying the maximum segment size? So, you know, instead of you transmitting one such a segment, you know, you transmit more in one go. So you avail from the capacity, you know, early, faster and so on. You don't wait for longer, you know, just until the, yeah. And the second one is congestion window. So how, what does it mean? It means that you extend the congestion, you can transmit more at the same time. So the capacity of the network is used, you know, more efficiently if you increase that. So this is the principle. You see, you need to stand back a little bit to answer this question. Nowhere in the lecture notes exactly, you know, I'm going to say, yeah, the congestion window size, you know, is used for this or for that, you know. So these are, you have some questions like this. As I said, I have to introduce them to you because it's at master level there. Indicate what are the pros with TCP in wireless delivery environments. What is the biggest problem there? Random loss. This is the biggest problem. If it's random loss, TCP, what does it do? Packs off because it says it's congestion. But it's not. This is wrong. And so on. So this is the biggest problem with TCP. Yeah. And you may mention that some solutions, you know, have ways of differentiating these ones and so on. But that's it. 7 marks, you know, you need to focus on the answer. Present the distributed Bellman for argoline used in context of distance vector routing. You know, here, I don't want you to solve it, you just present it. So what do? Remember in Bellman for an algorithm, you get messages only from your neighbors only. So whatever information that you got needs to be updated with a distance of one because it's far away, it's only one hop away from you there. So this is number one in the stage. And then the second, if you get information about a destination that was not already in your routing table, you add it. End of story. If you already had it in your route, it depends where the information comes from. If the information comes from a router that is already your best, you know, contact and so on your routing table, then the latest information prevails. Because, you know, who knows better than the router that is already in your routing table, because he gave you last time it gave you the last time the information. You know, if it comes from a different one, then the shortest distance. So very simple. Okay. Last one. State what are the limitations of modeling and explain why they are introduced. There. So what are the limitations? Imagine now. Some of them is complexity, if I remember well. You know, yeah, complexity. You know, cost, time, and so on. And some of them simply, you know, the system doesn't exist. We don't have it. It's not possible. We are designing it at the moment there. So all these are limitations and so on there. However, we are able to, you know, address this limitation using, you know, modeling stages and so on. Let's hear. Compare and contrast RTP, RTCP, and RTSP protocols for 8 marks. CFT protocols, just remember, RTSP is the one that does the remote control thing, play, pause, and so on there. It's used to control the transmission. RTP is the one that actually does the caring thing, you know, carries the data and so on there. from one end to another. RTCP adds information, control information, such as loss, you know, out of order packets, you know, when was sent the last one, and so on there. If you want to use this, fine. If you don't, fine, again, there. So three protocols, this is in a nutshell. You have to give a little bit more for 8 points about each of them, you know, what kind of protocols they are and so on. But because it's an 8 point thing, you could get for 5 points, for instance, simply describe RTP protocol. 5 points, that's it, very simple. Yeah? List and briefly comment the desirable properties of a routing protocol. So you remember what you know. So, you know, reliability, you know, exactness, you know, so we have a number of, I don't remember all of them now by heart. But this is fundamental, and they need to be fast, you know, because you can't wait forever, and so on. It has to be convergent, so it eventually converges to a stable, and don't jump, you know, from one to another. So fundamental and efficient. Efficient, you know, is debatable, or optimized, you know, is debatable how you achieve that. But this is important. Yeah, to remember. So for 8 marks, no, for 7 marks. Now, as I said, you know, the networking questions are not part of your exams this time. Yeah, but look, packet loss rate, latency, jitter, and throughput are used to describe. Describe each of them, you know, for network operational characteristics. Yeah. So very simple here. Directly the question there. Define the concept of handover in cellular mobility. List and describe the important handover issues that arise in the context of cellular handover. Detail the solution to one of these issues. Yeah. You see, this is a complex question and so on. Consider handover and what happens when you move from one to another and so on. When you move from in cellular, yeah? So from one attachment point to another attachment point. So what happens? This is a fundamental one for 7 points. And then here, there are two types of transfer services, TCP and UDP. You know, present data delivery services, TCP and UDP, and provide for an application. Briefly describe socket programming with TCP and UDP, respectively. So this was given more for the students who have dealt with this in general. I could ask you for 5 points, for instance, to briefly compare and contrast and so on TCP and UDP stages in common. That's it. Yeah. So the major stage here for TCP is that you have to establish the connectivity first before you can transmit, while in UDP you simply transmit. So this is for 5 points there. And then indicate what are the four quality of service viewpoints in ITUT G1000. This is simple, so I won't go into details. This you have it immediately in your lecture notes in section 2, if I recall well. There are two methods for measuring network performance, active and passive. We have discussed this before. It's exactly the same. You see, some exams, some questions come again there. It's only so much that I can ask you, because it's only so much material. So maybe it's good for you to look into the old papers and to see what kind of questions they've been asked, and, you know, maybe a good strategy. And you see here, the power management for wireless LAN and wireless PAN provides techniques at every OSI layer. Briefly describe the power management proposal transport layer. So we have power management, there are different solutions. What we propose a transport layer? Okay? And then in the Android architecture, Android runtime was designed so each Android application run its own process there. So this, you know, we have just touched there. I don't remember. We have covered this in this academic year. So if it hasn't been covered, you know, now, just in case, touch wood, if, you know, your exam paper covers something that was not covered and so on, raise your hand during the exam. I will be there at the beginning. I come in generally after 15 minutes and so on. Or if you don't remember something, you know, I cannot give you full details, but I may give you a hint or so. Now, it doesn't mean that now you'll be able to chat there for 15 minutes during the exam, and I'm going to give you, you know what I mean? So you're going to see the exam happens in a big room, loads of your colleagues left and right and front, and then we disturb other people. But if I can help you remind yourself where to take a particular question, if you simply don't know how to start or something like this, I'll do my best, yeah, without breaching the exam rules and so on, yeah? So the last one here, name and briefly describe and compare the two types of wireless LAN mobility. Yeah. This is very simple, yeah. So, you know, in terms of mobility. So you see the type of questions that are asked, there are three types and so on. They're short, average, and then in general, the problems are great. My suggestion is attempt all the problems. Look at the problems in the exam, in the lecture notes and so on. They are related to the routing. They are relating to, you know, performance in the back off, you know, you double the time and so on. So when are you going to send the next kind of things and so on? You don't have too many. You have maybe, I'm not sure, you know, 3 or 4 types of problems and so on. Be on top of them because you get 10, 12, 15 points for such problems, you know, which is great and so on. And then the rest, you know, are theoretical questions. There are quite many and so on, but, you know, have a look to see the types of questions they ask. And if you have any other questions, feel free to ask me and so on. Do you have any questions now before we end? No. So thank you very much for this. I appreciate this. You can contact me via email in case that I can answer. I won't be in the country in between